Good evening and welcome to Martin Stadium, West James, Bill Osborne, Marty Rogers, and Taylor Biddle. The Early Outside Broadcast crew, Viking football is on the air with Martin Stadium tonight. It is the third round, the quarterfinals of the state 5A football championship. All the playoffs, and it's happening right here tonight at Lowndes High School. Collins Hill, the Collins Hill Eagles in town tonight, bringing in probably one of the most prolific passing attacks that the Vikings have ever seen. Their quarterback, number 14, Taylor Heineke, he has broken every Gwinnett County passing record there is. The young man is the real deal, and we'll get a look at him in just about an hour. Big, big game right here tonight. The last time Collins Hill was here was in 2001. In these same corner finals, it was Milt Miller's last year as head coach, and we lost 21-14. And Bill said last week, new era, new coach, new times, and it's a new Viking football team.
Yeah, it's a whole new team out here, a whole new coaching staff, for the most part, a whole new philosophy on how to approach these games. Coach Miller was a great coach, won a state championship in his own right back in 99, but you almost want to say there's a little bit of revenge for the Vikings that this was the last team that beat us in a playoff game in our home stadium. But none of these kids remember that. Most of the coaching staff that is here now does not remember that. That's a fan thing. You'll hear Coach McPherson say, that's for radio people to talk about and fans to talk about. Tonight is about what's going to happen on this field. Here's a very good football team in Collins Hill, the Eagles, as they come out of Gwinnett County against a very good Viking team as well. We've seen them go have these ebbs and flows this year. They've been up, they've been down, they've been up. And right now we're in that upward tick right now that we've got to continue. If we want to go all the way to the state championship, we have got to continue that tick up and make this game better than last game, just like Coach McPherson says all the time. We take them one game at a time, and we try to get better than we were the last game.
Well, the field is kind of wet, Bill. We've had two showers this afternoon, one probably about 2 o'clock, and we had another one right about 6:30. And, boy, well, that was a monsoon. Didn't last real long, but it dumped a lot of rain out here on the field, and you can see shiny wet spots on our turf. The turf drains pretty well, so I don't think that field will be much of a factor tonight.
No, I don't think so either. I think that especially with the wind blowing the way it is, we'll see that dry up pretty quickly. There may be some weather coming back behind this this last front that we had later on this evening. I don't think it'll be as heavy, but I do expect that we'll probably have a few more scattered showers before the night is over.
Well, I tell you what, this is the Southeastern Federal Credit Union pregame show right here on 99.5 Kicks Country. And
I want to remind all of our listeners that you can always find out all the information you want and so much more at www.thevikingvoice.com. We're your source for Lowndes High Sports Radio broadcast. It's also the place where you can find all the season stats, the rosters, and news you can't find anywhere else about Lowndes High School Viking football, including archived games and coaches' shows broadcast. When you visit thevikingvoice.com, you'll find our link to 99.5 Kicks Country, our home for all the football radio broadcasts. So if you can't get us on the radio, get us on the World Wide Web at thevikingvoice.com or directly at 99.5kickscountry.fm. Click the listen here, and before you know it, you'll be keeping up with your favorite team, the Lowndes High Vikings. We're going to take a three-minute break now, and when we return, we'll take a look at some of the state and national polls and preview some of the games of interest around our area. Remember, you're listening to Lowndes Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Back in Martin Stadium, West James, Bill Osborne, Marty Rogers down on the sidelines, and I was looking for Marty. I just went away. Bill?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I can't hear nothing.
Oh. Guys?
Yeah, go ahead, Marty.
Hey,
yeah.
Marty, what's the field like down there?
Hey, the field's nice, guys. This AstroTurf drains so good. It's definitely ready to play. It's got good footing, and the kids say they can make cuts on it well, so I don't see any problems from the rain at this point.
All righty. And you've been down around some of our – what's the team like?
Team is same as they were last week. They came out very focused, but they're excited. They're ready to play, and several of them have come up to me and said the same thing they did last week. They said tonight they are ready to make a statement. And I don't know if that's just kind of a little theme they've taken or what it is, but several of them have said, hey, we're going to make a statement tonight. So hopefully hopefully that'll hold true and they can make a statement.
Well, I'm sitting here watching the quarterbacks warm up, and after last week, of course, Tyler Hunter had a great game in replacement of Cole Parker. But tonight, both of them are warming up under center, taking snaps just to get a feel. What are your thoughts down there, Marty? I mean, do we see a change in the starting quarterback tonight?
We do not. I've talked to a couple of people in the program, and Cole is going to start tonight. Cole is healthy. His thumb is feeling good. And from what I'm being told, he is the quarterback. However, we will probably see number 15, Tyler Hunter, under center at some point in this ballgame tonight.
Well, that'll be something interesting to keep an eye on tonight. I agree with you as well that Cole Parker has brought us to this point. He is the starting quarterback. But Tyler Hunter showed us some things last week, and Coach McPherson said at the Locos Grill and Pub Lounge Coaches Show Tuesday night that that's a guy you got to get the ball in his hands, Wes. You cannot leave him standing on the sidelines when he showed us what he could do last week.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Go ahead, Marty.
I was going to say you're definitely right, Bill. He definitely showed us what he can do, and he adds another dimension to us. I mean, that he's got that running ability, and although Cole can run, Tyler's just got a little bit more running ability, and he just adds a whole other dimension to our offense, and so they've got to get him on the field at some point.
Well, you look at last week against Noonan, Marty. They had not Noonan was not had not prepared for the option. We hadn't run it all year long. Tyler ran it to perfection when he went in there. So Collins Hill has basically had to prepare for two quarterbacks tonight.
They did, Wes, exactly. You know, that's the great thing about not only being able to do it on the field on Friday night, but it makes Collins Hill prepare for that. They have had to line up in practice and have their scout team run the option and run the bootleg and run the things that Tyler can do so well. And that takes practice time away from from Cole and the rest of the offense.
Absolutely. It's going to be the wind's blowing. It's going to be a good night for football. The crowd now starting to file into the stadium now that the rain has kind of went away.
Well, and understandably so. It's getting close. We're inside an hour before kickoff. We did hear a little while ago the Georgia Bridgemen, as their buses were pulling in back from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they marched in a Thanksgiving Day parade yesterday. And I guess you got to kind of hump it in a bunch of yellow school buses to get from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, back to Valdosta, Georgia. But we heard the buses as they were coming in. So we expect to see the Georgia Bridgemen here later tonight.
Well, they made it down as far as Roanoke, Virginia last night and got up this morning and came back in on the yellows. And at 6:30, they were between Waycross and they were right around Waycross. And they are very, very tired. They're exhausted. But they will get in, get prepared, and they will be in the stands tonight and supporting our Lounge High Vikings. Bill, Max Prep has come out with something, a little thing where they have ranked the teams and their chances of winning the state championship.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Brookwood has the best, they say Brookwood has the best chance of winning the state championship.
Yeah, what are those odds there?
1 in 2.47.
Okay.
Grayson, 1 in 4.81. Collins Hill has a 1 in 9 chance. Mill Creek has a 1 in 9 chance.
That's got to go a net kind of slide to it, doesn't it?
How about the Vikings, a 1 in 11 chance. Valdosta, 1 in 15. And Colquitt County, 1 in 57. Hillgrove, 1 in 169.
But I think the guys that came up with those odds live in Gwinnett County.
I think they do, too, because they are not giving us any respect down here in South Georgia.
Well, it really is. It is a South Georgia and a Gwinnett County kind of quarterfinal out there as well. I mean, we'll talk about these a little bit, but Colquitt, Mill Creek, that's Gwinnett, South Georgia. Valdosta, Grayson, that's Gwinnett County and South Georgia. Brookwood and Hillgrove, they're right down the road from each other. Then Collins Hill and Lowndes, all again, a Gwinnett Region 1-5A matchup. And
yep.
You wonder, where is high school football being played at right now?
In South Georgia.
South Georgia and Gwinnett County.
That's where they're playing it at. Last week, our Vikings rushed the ball 44 times for 264 yards. Cole Tyler was 5 of 8 for 74 yards. Total offense, we had 338 yards. Troy Braswell, 17 carries for 140 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Year-to-date stats, Troy still leads all ball carries with 901 yards. Sam Duncan with 599 and Mike Moore with 521. Cole Parker is 64 of 108, 59% completion rate, thrown for 1,142 yards on the year and 15 touchdowns. Josh Clemens, still our leading receiver, 21 catches for 425 yards. And leading tacklers, again, is going to be Chris Curry with 92, and Josh Clemens right behind him with 86. Those are our two leading tacklers as our stats go this year. And
I did a little looking at where we've been as far as with Troy Braswell. We're not a team that relies on one particular player, but we have been, as Troy has gone, we have been more successful. Last week, Troy had 140 yards, two touchdowns. He went through a slump there at the end of the season where he had no touchdowns. He rushed for 4 yards, 7 yards, and 46 yards over the end of the season. And that was when he was nursing that ankle, not getting a lot of production, and we were struggling with some teams. We won those games, but not very convincingly. We had issues, and all this talk came up of, you know, are we playing the way that we should? Are we really doing the things that we should be doing? Well, you go back to the beginning of the season, Troy has 188 yards, two touchdowns. He's got a touchdown in the second game. He only played a half. He played a half in the third game. He had a touchdown. The fourth game, he rushes for 108 yards, two touchdowns. The next game, 110 yards, three touchdowns. And then the ankle injury happened. And it just took a long time for him to find his way again. And after last night, or last Friday night, Coach McPherson mentioned Tuesday, Troy seems to be at that 99 to 100% level, ready to get back out there. And when you've got a running threat like Troy Braswell, it opens up the rest of the offense. And we started to see that last week, that the Vikings were able to do a lot more things on the ground, in the air, that we just weren't able to do during that little bit of stretch when Troy was not running as well.
This is the Southeastern Federal Credit Union pregame show right here on 99.5 Kicks Country, the Lions High Football Radio Network. Bill, I was looking at the top 10 teams and found this kind of interesting. When the season ended, Camden County was number one, North Gwinnett number two, McEachern was three, Valdosta four, Brookwood five, Etowah 6, Stevenson 7, our Vikings were 8, South Gwinnett was 9th, Collins Hill was 10th. There's four of them still left in the top 10.
That's it.
And what's interesting is Brookwood's playing tonight, Collins Hill's playing here, Valdosta, and our Vikings.
That's it.
Let's go ahead and take a three-minute break. When we come back, we will look at games around the area and games of interest around the state. You are listening to the Southeastern Federal Credit Union pregame report right here on the Lions High Football Radio Network on 99.5 Kicks Country. Back in Martin Stadium, West James, Bill Osborne, Taylor Biddle, Marty Rogers down on the sidelines. Marty, as soon as you grab Coach Mack or Coach Reach, either one you want to get first, and you just let us know when you're ready. Just hop in there okay. I thought she was fixing to grab him there for a minute. All righty, we'll go ahead.
He changed his mind. He just walked away.
All right, Bill, let's talk. Bill, let's talk about the games, the 5A bracket.
All right, go ahead.
And how teams got there. In the upper left-hand, Colquitt County, 7-5. They're home tonight against Mill Creek. Mill Creek, a number 4 seed. Colquitt County, a number 3 seed. So they get to host tonight. And we'll keep everybody informed of that ball game over there. Like I say, I think Colquitt County, I think the Packers played at home. They haven't played a playoff game at home in a long time, but I think they take this one to the house tonight.
I tell you, Mill Creek has played some impressive games. They beat Etowah, they beat South Gwinnett, and beat these teams pretty handily. It's going to be a tough battle for Colquitt, but if they play within themselves, play their system, I think they can win this game. It's going to be close. Something in the neighborhood of 31-28 kind of thing.
All right, let's drop down to the other side. The number four. Yes.
Hey, guys, hate to interrupt, but I'm down here with Coach Mack. And, Coach Mack, thank you for taking a few minutes to speak with us. Coach, here we are, quarterfinals. Kids are out this week, practice in the mornings. How did practice go?
I mean, we had a great week of practice. You know, got to focus on just football, so it was a real good week.
Coach, obviously last week Cole Parker couldn't go and Tyler Hunter was under center. Tyler played a great game. I noticed tonight both of them warming up. How is Cole? How is his health? And is he starting tonight?
I think he's good. Yeah, he'll get the start. But, you know, we're going to probably use Hunter in some situations as well.
Coach, also, Geraldo Orta last week set out most of the game, played a little bit in the third quarter. How's his health, and do we expect to see him tonight?
He's ready to go.
Good deal. Coach, obviously this is a passing team. I know all playoffs, y'all's theme has been we're playing a team. It don't matter who we're playing a team. Tonight, that's Collins Hill. They throw the ball all over the place. What are we going to try to do to slow that down? And does this rain have an effect on that?
Well, you know, we're going to have to mix the coverages up, you know, get a little pressure. Getting pressure is going to be a key. You know, as far as the rain affecting it, I don't know about that. But we just got to play sound, fundamental defense. That's what we got to do.
Coach, offensively last week we played probably our best game of the year. Offensive line, y'all made some changes, playing a lot of kids in there, rotating them in and out. Talk to us a little bit about our offense and, you know, what are we planning on doing kind of like we did Moultrie tonight? We're going to try to keep the ball out of their prolific offense and just run the ball? And or what are our plans offensively?
Our plans, Marty, are to do whatever it takes to score points. And, you know, we've got some kids healthy, you know, Hunter's healthy, Braswell's healthy, and we need to get them the ball, okay? you know, try to score some points.
Coach, you know, it's great to be at home. We talked about it last week, but how important is it to be able to play here in front of all our fans here at Martin Stadium in the Concrete Palace tonight?
Oh, man. You know, this is where we love to play. We've got great fans. Just very exciting to be here.
Coach, did you eat too much turkey yesterday?
I got a bunch of it.
Thanks, Coach Mack.
All righty, Marty, thank you so much.
Bill, as we said earlier, you know, Cole's going to start, and but don't be surprised to see Tyler Hunter play some tonight.
And probably play a lot, too, I would think.
All righty, looking down at the bottom half, on the lower half of the conference, Hillgrove, a number four seed, has beat Stevenson. They beat Camden County 28-26, and they're getting the highest-ranked team in the state right now, the Brookwood Broncos, at 11-1. Brookwood beat Alpharetta 44-13. They then beat Norcross 34-24 to advance to the quarterfinals. Hillgrove, folks say they don't have a chance to beat a number one seed again, because if they do, that would be the third week in a row they would have beaten the number one seed. They say, folks say they can't do it. I'm pulling for them, Bill.
Who's that?
Hillgrove.
Sorry, I was over here. Yeah, I'm a Hillgrove Hawk tonight.
And then in the lower left-hand corner, how about this? The Valdosta Wildcats, the number two seed. They beat Windsor Forest 34-13. They go up to McEachern last week and beat McEachern 31-28. Valdosta 11-1, hosting Grayson. Grayson, which beat North Versailles 31-0 in the first week. And then last week beat North Gwinnett, the number one team in the state, the 19th team in the nation, beat them 23-19. But Coach Kahn brings those Grayson players into Baysmore Hyder, and that's a tough place to play football, Bill.
Yeah, it is. Now, we faced the Grayson Rams about 2 years ago up in their place. Very focused football team. I really thought was a little better than what they played us. But the team is still the same continuity of the team. 2 years once removed from beating Lowndes, and now they got to come into Valdosta, Georgia, play it at Baysmore Hyder Stadium. Not a friendly confine.
Something we talked about, and I think the Cats are going big, Grayson. And one of the things we talked about, Bill, was when we went to play Grayson, we played them the day after Thanksgiving. You ate all that turkey on Thanksgiving Day. You sat around, ate some more that night, then got on a bus and drove to Grayson. It was cold. It was wet weather. It wasn't our favorite place to be. And Grayson pretty much finds himself in the same situation. A lot of turkey yesterday. That was home last night and had to get up this morning and get on those buses and ride down here into some kind
hey
of wet, red, rather weather.
Yeah, go ahead,
guys.
Marty.
I hate to interrupt again, but I got Coach Reed on his heel. And, Coach, thank you for taking a few minutes to speak with us. Obviously, Coach, quarterfinals. Your team, I think, got off to kind of a slow start straight, and your team's playing great ball. Talk to us about your season and how you've gotten to this point.
Well, we're excited about being here, first off. Coach McPherson has made us feel at home, and, you know, we really do appreciate that. But, you know, as far as the way the season started, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And, you know, our defense finally got in gear. We kind of had to move some people around, and once we did that, you know, we started clicking. And, you know, it's starting to peak about right now, so we're happy about that.
Coach, obviously, it is definitely how you finish, not how you start. And, of course, I know you don't want to be finished this week, but practicing the week of Thanksgiving is always a good thing. I know your kids have been out. And, you know, I know it's been Thanksgiving week, but how's practice been this week?
Oh, we had a great, great week of practice. Might have been the best we've had all year. And, you know, anytime you practice on Thanksgiving, that means you're having a pretty good season. But I tell you, our boys are excited. They, you know, they're as confident as they've ever been. You know, it's a hard place to come and try to win because they've had some success here in the last, heck, 9 years. But, you know, let's not forget the last time that they were upset in a playoff game was against Collins Hill back in 91. So, you know, we feel good about that.
Coach, you're absolutely right. Right, it was actually the quarterfinals also right here when Collins Hill beat us 21-14. But, Coach, you can't say enough about your quarterback. Obviously, we've read a lot about him and heard a lot about him, but Heineke has had a great season. You love to throw the ball around a little bit. I watched during warm-ups, you've got several tall athletic receivers. But talk to us about your offense a little bit and, you know, who are some of the guys to watch?
Well, you know, our trigger man, Taylor, he's kind of the backbone of the offense. And he's had a fantastic season. He's thrown for about 3,600 yards, I think, and 41 touchdowns. And we got some good guys to catch the football. And, you know, when we lost Charles Perkins, he was actually running back of the year last year. We felt like we had to go with what our strengths were, so we went ahead and started throwing the ball around a little bit, and, you know, it's helped us out.
Well, Coach, you know, it's dry now. It rained a little bit here just about an hour or so ago, and I think there's some more coming. How does that affect your offense and throwing the ball around? You know, a lot of people say it helps the defense, and some people say it helps the offense because receivers know where they're going, but how does it affect it?
Well, I'm going to say it helps us. You know, with the ground being a little wet, we do work on that. You know, we'll throw that wet ball. We worked on it this week just looking at the forecast. So, you know, we were working on throwing a wet ball as much as possible. But, you know, it's hay's in the barn, and, you know, we're ready to get this thing going.
Coach, defensively, you know, everybody talks about your offense, first of all. Everybody talks about how many points you can you score and all the yards Taylor's thrown for. But defensively, you're playing great as of late. And I believe you're led by Travis Parker. Your linebacker's got about 95 tackles, if I'm not mistaken. And talk to us a little about your defense and how do you base and who are some of the kids to watch over there?
Well, we, you know, we're based out of a 4-3, and Travis Parker, who is our Mike backers, had a fantastic season. He's been a 3-year starter for us, and he's the backbone of our defense. And Coach Massey, our defense coordinator, you know, he was with Parkview the 4 years that they won the state championship, so he's used to the big game and the big situation. And, you know, he's, after those first three, four games, now, there were some tough teams. They're all region champs that we ended up playing the first four games. But after those first four games, you know, we've kind of settled down and ended up having, what, three shutouts, I think. So,
yeah, they've been playing well, and so has your entire team. And, you know, last question for you. I know you is your ace in the hole, your offensive coordinator, who's been down here, played at Valdosta, and kind of familiar with this program a little bit. I know Calhoun played at VSU. And I saw him out here talking with Coach Dean before the game. But talk to us a little bit about him and, you know, how's it be able to have a former Blazer on your staff?
Well, I used to work at quarterback camp at Valdosta. And, you know, Sean and I became pretty good friends. And I told him if I ever got the head job up at Collins Hill, that he needed to come up and talk with me. And, you know, he's from that area. His family lives there. And, boy, he's been a great hire, great hire. He's done an excellent job, not only with the receivers, but, you know, just kind of changing our passing sense around because I knew we were going to throw the football, so I wanted to get a passing guy to come in. But he's done an outstanding job, along with Coach Mahan, who's our run coordinator, who's been with me for a number of years.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you talking with us. Congratulations on a good season, and we look forward to watching you play tonight. Thank you.
All righty, Marty, thank you so much. This is a Southeastern Federal Credit Union pregame report, and we'll be – do we need to take another one? Yep, we do. We'll go ahead and take another three-minute break and come back, and we'll finish looking at the state playoff brackets and games of interest around our area. Lounge High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country. We'll be back after this three-minute break. Back at Martin Stadium, West James, Taylor Biddle, Marty Rogers down on the sidelines, and with me always, the incomparable, the famous – the wild man.
Undescribable.
Bill Osborne.
West Collins Hill has now gone back into the to their locker room. I see the Georgia Bridgemen down there at the end zone getting ready to get up into the – well, actually, they're going to go ahead and march onto the field, it looks like. Lowndes players down there getting warmed up, and we are probably staring at inside of 25 minutes before this game kicks off. Wes, you want to talk about kind of some matchups of what we think, what we've been told as far as who will be a starting lineup?
Well,
I know a lot of the
well,
fans.
Well, Bill, we never did finish looking at our brackets in 5A.
Well, go ahead. Finish.
Because there was one left.
Go ahead. And who's that?
Collins Hill and Lowndes High.
Okay, go ahead.
And, of course, the Eagles 9-3, our Vikings 10-2, Collins Hill, which beat Roswell 29-27. That's twice they beat them this year. And then beat them 35-24. Had a tough game against Woodstock 7-3. Our Vikings 42-6 over Groves and 38-14 over Noonan. And, Bill, we'll talk about it in just a minute as soon as I finish out our brackets. It's going to be a tough, tough game against those Collins Hill Eagles. And 4A, the only games of interest around our area is Ware County. Ware County, number 2 seed, playing at Tucker tonight. Tucker undefeated in Class 4A football. In 3A, Cairo, 12-0, the number 1 seed, had a coin toss against Carrollton. Carrollton, 12-0. Somebody's going to lose their first game of the season, and somebody's going home.
Yep.
And that's going to happen between Cairo and Carrollton. And then over in AA, golly, how about this? Thomasville, the number 3 seed, they're at Carver-Columbus tonight. Carver-Columbus, 12-0. Fitzgerald, 10-2, the number 2 seed. They're at Calhoun, a number 1 seed. And, of course, Carver-Columbus, a number 1 seed. Cook County, a number 1 seed, 12-0. They're at Buford. Buford's only loss came to Carver-Columbus, and that was 14-0. And they're a number 1 seed. They had to have a coin toss to see what they were going to play, and they're playing in Buford. And how about this? For the first time ever in the history of Georgia high school football, 2 number 4 seeds are meeting in the state playoffs. And that is Lovett, number 4, at Brooks County tonight. Maurice Freeman gets to play at home. How about this? He finishes number 4 in the region, and he's the only team at home.
That's something else, isn't it?
And then in the class in single A, Clinch County 12-0. ELCA 12-0, out of McDonough, both number 1 seeds. Jim Dickerson said, I'm tired of losing coin toss. As soon as defensive coordinator up, made the toss last Saturday, won the toss, and they're at home tonight also.
Wow. Well, it looks like we got some information from Collins Hill. We'll go ahead and give you their starting lineups tonight. Wes, I'll do that, and if you want to tackle the Lowndes, because I tell you, it changes from week to week and play to play anymore lately, just because we're playing so many kids in so many places. But let's go ahead. I know a lot of fans a lot of times want to mark their rosters if they've got their programs. The starting lineup for Collins Hill looks like tonight at quarterback, number 14, Taylor Heineke. He's 228 completions out of 342 for 3,509 yards, 40 touchdowns, a 66.7 completion ratio. Go ahead.
He averages 292 yards per game and 3.3 touchdowns per game.
And one other note, that's the most, the touchdown touchdowns and yards is the most in Gwinnett County history ever. And how unbelievable is that? That's number 14, Taylor Heineke. Their one running back is number 5, Nick England. He's got 619 yards.
Jordan Parker, number 39.
Is it Jordan or Travis?
Jordan Parker.
Okay, Jordan. There's a Travis Parker as well, number 30, that may play some running back. They're wide receivers. That's where all their guys are.
Well, Bill, if you'd like to stop for just a second, talk about their running back.
Go ahead.
Jordan Parker, 6 foot, 230-pound senior, 80 carries on the year for 402 yards. They only average 33.5 yards a game rushing.
Yeah, they don't put a lot of yards on the ground. We'll see number 13, Trey Marksberry. Also number eight, Zay Howard. Number 19, Jeff Glover. And number 22, Brian Macy. On their offensive line, it'll be at center, Jake Banta. Their guards, Patrick Brooks, Casey Howell. At tackle, number 56, Jake Banta. Oh, I got two names there. Number 67, Alan Hinderleader. And also number 75, Jackson Flanagan. That's their offensive starting lineup. Their defense looks like this. They run a 4-3 scheme, trying to run something similar to a cover 4. Their defensive line is made up of number 77, Sam Bautiste, 56, Jake Banta, number 2, Andrew Everett. number 9, Sean Stackler. Their linebacker, number 30, Travis Parker, is their leading tackler with 97 tackles on the year. Other linebackers are number 40, Chris Snyder. Number 16, Jeremichael Bailey. Their safeties, number 10, Connor Boston. Number 36, Dakota Kahn, also has 92 tackles on the year. At their other defensive backs, number 1, Shane Carpentier. And number 23, Keldrick Roth, also coming in with 65 tackles. Their kickers, they list number 90, Mitchell Blanchard. Number 62, Jordan Brust. And their punter, number 40, Chris Snyder. Also, let's go ahead and take a look at what Lowndes may look like tonight. And this, folks, is subjective to whatever happens to be on the field at the time, but pretty confident our starting quarterback tonight, number 12, Cole Parker. We will see number 15, Tyler Hunter. At wingback, we'll see number 29, Troy Braswell, number 21, Nick Bergman. At fullback, will be number 11, Sam Duncan, and number 20, D. Daniels. At the wide receiver, we'll see number 27, Paul Johnson, as well as number 25, Josh Clemens. At the tight end spot, number 80, Kendall Coleman. And our offensive line, at center, number 76, Anthony Chandler. We'll see Justin Scarborough at one of the guards, Caleb Clark at one of the guards. At the tackles, we should see number 77, Ed Moore, and number 93, Justin Wilson, along with number 75, Jared Davis. Defensively, we'll look like this. Defensive ends, number 46, Matt Frazier. At the other end, number 41, Tim St. Fort. At the nose tackle, number 54, A.J. Flukas. At the defensive tackles, we'll see number 30, James Mathis, and number 93, Justin Wilson. At the linebackers, number 32, Chris Scurry, and number 25, Josh Clemens. At the safety, number 26, Geraldo Orta, and number 2, Tyquan Lang. And we should see a lot of nickel formation here tonight, so we'll probably see number 45, Mikey on Paget, as well as number 15, Tyler Hunter. At the cornerback spot, number 31, Kerry Stanley. And out there on his own island, Kenneth Dirty Island Durden, cornerback number 7. Our kicker tonight, number 6, Jed Solomon. Our long snapper, number 85, Austin Masters. And, of course, our punter, also number 6, Jed Solomon. And that looks like your starting lineup tonight. As I look down onto the field now, the Georgia Bridgemen in uniform. I really expected them to be in blue jeans tonight after a very, very long trip. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to tell you, I was talking to some of the Georgia Bridgemen and Robert Maynard, the assistant band director, who said that they left Fayetteville, North Carolina this morning at 8 o'clock. They rolled in at 6:40 and told the band they had until 7:15 to get dressed and be ready to go. So hats off to the Georgia Bridgemen. 2,000 miles, over 2,000 miles this week in a school bus to get back just in time to be dressed and ready to go tonight. Got to give your hats off to them.
Absolutely, and this band is such an integral part of this football team. They go together hand in glove, and when the band's not here, the football team doesn't respond as well. It's part of the crowd, and they really play well with their crowd in front of them. So, hats off to the Georgia Bridgemen for their great performance yesterday as well in the parade there in Philadelphia, and their perseverance to get back here tonight to be in Martin Stadium playing loud in front of our fans. I do want to remind the Georgia High School Association would like to thank its corporate partners for their support of high school athletics and their activities. Those are State Farm Insurance, Hibbett Sports, Georgia Electric Membership Corporation, Verizon Wireless, Regions Bank, GACollege411.org, Gatorade, Wilson, U.S. Marine Corps, Mizuno, Sport Med South, the U.S. Army, and Napa Auto Parts. Thank you to all of those sponsors for GHSA-sponsored events.
All righty. Sorry, Bill. Had to take care of a little business there.
Well, we got all the starting lineup in there.
While you did that, let's go back, if you'd like, and just talk a little bit about their receivers.
Go ahead. Yeah, we didn't talk a lot about their receivers.
Zay Howard, number 8, is our leading receiver, 6'1", 125-pound senior, 59 catches on the year, 966 yards through last Friday night, and 8 touchdowns. Their second leading receiver is number 5, Nick England. He's a junior, 42 catches for 740 yards and 10 touchdowns. Brian Macy, number 22, 6'2", 205-pound senior, 25 catches, 250 yards and six touchdowns. They like to go to their tight end every now and then. He's a big fellow, number 18, Jake Starr, 6'5", 205-pound senior, 21 catches, 350 yards. But here's a little kicker, Bill. Number 19, Jeff Glover, a 6'4", 200-pound senior, broke his hand in the Peachtree Ridge game.
Right, right.
Has come back and only played the last two games, but he has 46 catches for 606 yards and eight touchdowns. He is by far their best receiver. I talked to Coach Sean Calhoun before the ball game, and we talked a little bit about Glover, and he told me how he broke his hand. He said Glover had a chance to break every pass receiving record in Gwinnett County until he broke his hand. He said he is the real deal. He'll probably play D1 football somewhere. And one of the interesting things we've talked about, the fact that Tyler Heineke had not received an offer.
Yes.
That changed on Wednesday.
Well, I'm sure it would.
He has been offered by Old Dominion.
Okay, ODU.
But they're big. Now, when you look at their offensive line, Bill, they're 6'1", 261 pounds is what they average. D-line averages 6'2", 230 pounds. Linebackers average 6'1", 205 pounds. 14 starters back, 7 on each side of the ball. Now, they're not real big up front, as Coach Calhoun says. That concerns him against our defense. He said, Wes, I wouldn't tell you this just to be running my mouth. He said, but Lowndes High's defense is the best 11 high school defense. Those first 11, he said, is the best 11 I have ever seen. And that includes my time when I was at Valdosta State coaching and recruiting high school football players.
Well, and we talked about that a little bit earlier while we were off air. Our defense may be one of the fastest defenses that Collins Hill will face this year. They face some good defenses. They'll find some guys, teams that will have one or two, maybe three guys that have really got pure out speed and can stay with a couple guys. But you can't have that all the way across. Lowndes, the front five on that defensive line is as powerful a defensive line. We got speed at the corners, speed at the safeties, and guys that we have just go after interceptions. We got 19 interceptions on the year. Kerry Stanley with 4, Tyquan Lang with 3, Josh Clemens with 2. I mean, these guys, they hawk the ball.
Bill, guess who's with us tonight?
Probably more than a few former players.
How about Doug Belk, former Lowndes High quarterback? He led the Vikings to back-to-back state championships in 2000, 2004, and 5, with a 15-0 and 14-1 season, securing the first team of the Randy McPherson legacy. After 4 short years and 1 semester, Doug has pounded the ground to earn a double bachelor's degree, 1 in computer science and 1 in business management, to be presented to him on December 17, 2010. Dougie Doug Belk, as we know him, continued to set records and do great things in football while at Carson Newman College. As a senior, he played his last collegiate football game November 16th, and as usual, he never quits. And that one game alone, he rushed for 208 yards on 23 carries, threw a touchdown pass, ran for a touchdown, and ran a two-point conversion that won the game with a score of 49-48. And that same week, he also made the South Atlantic Conference Player of the Week and won Carson Newman's prestigious Roy Harmon Award for his impeccable positive Christian leadership. What a success, and what a way to finish. Our first championship quarterback, Dougie Belk.
That's it. He'll be up here at halftime, maybe, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a two-minute break while we do the national anthem. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Southeastern Federal Credit Union pregame show right here on 99.5 Kix Country.
Back at Martin Stadium, West James, Bill Osborne, along with Marty Rogers down on the sidelines, and Taylor Biddle, our spotter. And we're just kind of rolling things up here. And looks like the rain might go away and let us play a little football. Scores already from around the state. Brookwood leads Hillgrove 7-0. And we are pulling for Hillgrove while Brooks trails Lovett 14-6. And I'm sure both those games are in the first quarter.
Well, Wes, we're looking like about on the score clock, about 8 minutes till kickoff. The band out entertaining the crowd now, as we said, so I expect we'll see captains here in just a few moments.
Bill,
go ahead,
Mark.
I was just going to say and kind of add to this what we were saying about our band. Collins Hill was at the same parade in Philadelphia, and no disrespect for them, because that's a lot to do, and they of course are from the Atlanta area, but our band is here, and they're the only band in the stadium, so congratulations to our band. That's a lot to be able to get back in just in time for that.
Yeah, we talked about that. The Collins Hill Band would have to go past their house, drive another 3 hours to come to South Georgia, get in here, do a show, be in here and support their team, get back on those buses, drive 3.5 or more hours back to Gwinnett County, and that really is so much of a job. It is so hard to say. We're not going to judge their band. I'm sure that they did very well at the parade, but boy, that's a long, long way to have to come and go back and come and go back again. So,
You're absolutely right, Bill, and that it just goes to show, you know, our band and what all they had to go through. But, they're fortunate. They get to sleep in their own beds tonight.
Exactly.
Obviously, it'd be very hard for Collins Hill to come down here and have to do that and then turn around and be ready for school Monday. But it's just, no disrespect for them, but just another little feather in our band's cap, way to get back in time.
Yeah, I talked to some band people last week when they left Sunday. Was it Sunday morning to make the trip up, and they spent some time sightseeing as they went up. And I said, well, you guys going to be back? She said, do we need to be here for the band? I mean, is the team going to play? And I said, it appears so as we won the game. She said, then we'll be back. Vikings captains begin to come out of the field house now. It looks like number 12, Cole Parker, number 29, Troy Braswell, number 26, Geraldo Orta, and number 44. I can't remember 44. I hate that, Wes.
Bill, you can't remember number 44.
That's Dale McBurrow. I'm sorry, Dale.
And South Gwinnett. Collins Hill's captain's not come out on the field yet. They're on the far side.
I see him getting ready to come out now.
All righty. Pass number 56 is
Banta.
Jake Banta. Number 14, of course, we know who that is. That's Tyler Heineke. Number 17 is Herdy Lawrence. And number 30 is Travis Parker. Now, Travis Parker.
That's their big stud linebacker.
And tell you a little bit about Parker. He's 6 foot. He's 6 foot, 230-pound senior. He has 115 tackles on the year. Bill, interestingly, it's not unusual for your linebacker to be your leading tackler.
Right.
What is unusual?
Safeties are right behind him.
Safeties, number 36, Dakota Kahn, 5'11", 180-pound senior with 101 tackles. And the other safety, number 23, Keldrick Ross, 6 foot, 170 pound senior, 73 tackles. What I understand they're going to do, they're going to take not eight players, but nine. And they'll actually have their four down linemen, three linebackers, but they'll bring their safeties up inside their corners and let their corners play a little bit off. And their safeties actually play run defense first.
Well, that's unusual for them because they do play somewhat of a cover four. A cover two is truly two cornerbacks going back man on man. A cover four is literally man on man, four on four. And we don't run that offensively, so you'd be wasting two guys out there trying to cover in four. So they're going to come up, run support first, but we might be able to slide some people underneath. We'll have to see. And it might be that we can seal that off and get some outside sweeps as well.
And that's where we may see Tyler Hunter come in and try to run that that option. Marty Rogers headed out on the field with the officials.
I know they'll go through their basic introductions. The officials from the Middle Georgia Association will make the introductions, introduce themselves.
Bill, stop. Look, listen. Here come the mighty, mighty Vikings.
This is the coin. It says tails here. That's heads here. What's your call?
Heads.
He calls heads. If I drop it, we'll flip again. The call is heads. It is tails. You won the call. Put your back down here.
Guys, we won the toss, and we elected to take the ball.
There you go. We're going to take a one-minute break. When we come back, we'll be ready to kick this off. You've been listening to the Southeastern Federal Credit Union pregame show right here on 99.5. We'll be back after this 60-second break.